Blog Talk Radio.
Or how you guys doing today? Guys doing out there today? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. Today we're dealing with human reason, humanistic reasoning versus the Word of God. It seems to be a great thing going on since this incident with Kim Davis. If you guys want to call in, feel free to call in. The number is going to be, the guest call-in number is going to be 773-897-6105. Once again, that call-in number is 773-877-6105. Okay, well, we're looking at Kim Davis' issue, and I've been hearing a whole lot of stuff about Kim Davis. And I've been hearing a lot of what is called humanistic reasoning. And, you know, and it's kind of funny because man seems to be always smarter than God. And let's look at this, just to get some scriptural bearing, and we'll talk about the issue in itself. And we start here, which is, I lost place that quick. But I'm going in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 as well as chapter 2. Okay, and we can start in verse, we'll start by verse 10, okay, in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. It said, "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but with the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he is judge of no man." Notice what it says, the natural things, you know, the natural man, that man with all this humanistic reasoning, he can't receive the things that's given of God. You know, it seems foolishness to him. So when we're dealing with this issue with Kim Davis, it seems foolishness to them that she's not willing to compromise her spiritual principles, her moral principles that are written in the Bible, the Word of God, even if it's her job. They say, if your job, I was listening to a person who wrote a little blog, you know, the judge or whatnot, and here this person was saying that the law of state supersedes the law of God. Pretty much, if you read their statement, that's what they're saying. They'll tell you they didn't say that, but they say whenever that law, if it does not agree with my belief or it's a belief that I hold of this in the Word of God, if the state law says that's what it is, then that's what I'm going to go with. So that means they put the word, the man's word, over God's word, and the Word of God is foolishness to man. And so you're looking at this situation. To these people, this doesn't make a lot of sense that she took a stand. But they thinking as if, like, well, you're taking a stand and you're cherry picking the Bible. No, sin is sin. She's not cherry picking the Bible, but she understands that there is a violation of scripture going on, and the Word of God supersedes any man law. So when we're looking at our Constitution and stuff, I think people don't understand when it says by the people and for the people what that really means. You know, this is human. It's really being established off of human reasoning, without the consideration of God's word, which oversees or supersede any law that you can possibly make. And so they don't take a consideration, and they say, well, we want to be married. And this woman said, no, I'm not with that. I'm not going to give you no marriage license, not with my name on it. And they say, well, you need to get another job. Should she have to get another job? Why? When have you ever been told that you got to leave your moral principles and moral standards at home? It could have been simply remedied the way they remedied anyway. It could have said, hey, we got to find somebody in the office who don't mind stepping over the Word of God. Not that she's, because she's an elected official, she's got to violate her scriptural, her violate God's word to perform their job. Who do you think they're going to stand for before at the end of the day? Okay, who do they really think they're going to stand before? It's going to be God. Okay, and so look at this, and this is another thing that nobody's taking into consideration. And I see when they say for the people, by the people, well, people don't understand what is coming with all of this stuff that they're so triumphant in. And some of these so-called Christians, okay, or some of these so-called believers in, as well as these atheists and non-believers talking about they cherry-pick the Bible. What is cherry-picking the Bible? When it comes down to it, it's coming a day where you're going to have an option to take the mark of the beast or not. So should you obey the law at that time? Should you obey your state law, your federal law? It's come time. Now, you guys got to take the mark of the beast because the government said so. We're living in the time where scriptures are being fulfilled. And so that means you're not going to always have where they sit up there acting like it's going to be there. Well, it's going to be times that what you believe, not so much what you believe, what is written in the Word of God is going to be contrary to the law of man. That's why I was reading about it. Said by it was foolishness to these men. When they hear the Word of God and you begin to tell them, look, man, we're not stepping on just some natural principle. We're stepping on God himself. God has created marriage, and I'm not willing to go beyond that, whether this be my job or not. I never signed up to go beyond God's law. And you guys are bringing in laws, and you're saying that state laws, federal laws, and they're violating God's very moral principle, the principles that he has given us to live by. That's not charity, you know, sin. They say, well, he's picking on that sin. Well, let's look at what the Bible says. This is Matthew 19, and I like Mark 2, so I'm going to shoot to Mark 2, but I can read it here too. But it goes that in Mark 19, okay, and he was asking about a man putting away his wife. But Jesus answered and said, and this is Matthew 19, verse 4. He answered and said unto them, have you read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Wait a minute. What do you mean he made them male and female? So you're telling me when you begin to pervert the law, because that's what it is, that I have to follow that? That lady's in the wrong because she would not follow a perverted law. He said to me, he made them male and female. I don't understand this. What do you mean? He made male and female. He never made male and male or female and female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife. Notice that. Where did marriage come from? Who created it? Who gave you the right to change it? I don't care what justice they're talking about. That is an immoral act that they just committed. Okay, because God has created marriage. Man did not create marriage. Okay, he said, in verse 5, and said, for this cause shall man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and the twin shall be one flesh. Wherefore, they are no more twin but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Don't let no man divide it. Don't let no man break it up either. In other words, destroy it. But he made that male and female. He didn't say for this cause Adam was going to leave and marry Steve, male for male, woman for woman. That is a perverted act in itself. So this lady is living off her more conscience. And like I said, the phones are open. If you guys have any statements, because it would be interesting to hear what anybody say. And any of you guys listening to this show later, the pre-recorded show, you're more than welcome to send your comments and statements about this, because I like to hear your reasoning when it comes to God versus man. You know, God law automatically supersedes man law. You know, there's no such thing, a state or a law higher than the law of God. So God's judgment is going to come because God has already spoke about Sodom and Gomorrah. In 2 Peter, he talks about how they were destroyed. When you're dealing with 2 Peter, how he said, okay, look at this. He says, and I'm going to skip verse 6 because it's talking about the first world, and now it's talking about Lot in verse 6. 2 Peter 2 and 6. In turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah to ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, and vexed with a filthy conversation. In other words, the filthy behavior of the wicked. So he already said he would overthrow them. He overthrew them. They were to be an example. So America, under this president, under this political system, period, has brought about a judgment that shall come about against them. See, they don't understand. Now, there's a penalty for not obeying God's law. They act like we live out here and there's no such thing as God. We can do what we want. We can transgress the laws as we are any way we want? And people say that's the cherry picking. Well, cherry picking, this particular cherry picking judgment is, he said he overthrew them, and they were to be an example to those who should live as such afterwards. And what should happen to them? What would be the outcome? And I'm not going to read all the way through this. This is America's outcome. This is America, people. Let's look at the scripture to see why this judgment is going to be rendered on America. I never could figure out why America was going to end up with such a judgment when I used to read the scripture, but I recognize it for who it was because of the simple fact of what the Bible tells us about this in describing the mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, abominations of the earth. Okay? And let's go. This is Revelation 17 and 5. And now I understand we are going to receive this judgment and the destruction of this nation because of that one act right there. And there's many other acts, but there put the nail in the coffin because he let you know this was to be an example for those that should live as such. This would be the penalty of this kind of living, this kind of society. And that's your First Peter. You look at that. And look at 1 Peter, and look at it. Let's read over that once again before I read that scripture. Notice what he said, because this is a judgment call. You know, I take my hat off to Ken Davis because she did what was right. I wouldn't have violated my spiritual rights. You know somebody else in that office can do that. If you guys want to condemn yourself to damnation in hell, go ahead. But you're not going to do it at my expense with my name being titled on that paper. You do what you do. And it ain't cherry picking. Well, they say there's a job. Well, when your job begins to violate the word of God, I'm going to ask you so-called believers who think she was wrong, what should you do? Should you step a path? You said you go past the word of God to fulfill a job? Are you serious? What kind of nation has this become? What kind of minded people are we dealing with in this nation? And claiming to be a believer, are you serious? When you say you're willing to go past the more word of God, the word that supersedes all words, all law, go beyond any law. You're going to say that when it's the law of the land overrules the word of God, you're a fool. For real fool. You're going to condemn yourself to hell trying to uphold a job or uphold some kind of faulty standards, a nation that was born out of all kind of madness. Okay, and it says, and this is verse 6, 2 Peter, Chapter 2, verse 6, it says, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, we all know the story of Lot. The angels came down to the city to see if what they were hearing, because they talk about a cry, which was really a representation of the prayers of what they were doing had reached into the heavens. So God came, sent the people down there to see if it was so. The angels would bear witness and destroy it if it was. And so here he's looking at it. And they go down and, you know, they don't get Lot out of there because Abraham start begging and say, hey, there's 10, and they know they're about to go destroy that city because God don't really have to have nobody to go down there. He heard and he's seen himself, what's going on. He's omnipresent. He knows what's happening there. So he says the angels have handled the situation, and here these men rise up to grab the angels. What kind of madness is that? That's what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. And therefore, God destroyed. He rained fire down on them, brimstone on them. He destroyed them. You know, you can really look at that as the first nuclear explosion because when they describe it, it is the exact replica of what we see today when somebody drops an atomic bomb. You know, that's the exact same thing you see. You see the same kind of meltdown. You see the cloud, as he was describing it, after the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that would take up my show to read that. I'm just going to give you guys some scripture, and you can go look and see for yourself what happened. And look at how they destroyed. And it starts in chapter 18 of Genesis at 6. Okay, and it goes all the way out, it carries all the way out until chapter 19. Where God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because they went after the men. And Lot had told them, my daughters don't even have not known no man. Okay? And they said, bring the men out to me. They were wicked. Okay? And so that's what happened. And so God simply destroyed them. And you can read that and look over that, and you tell me what you come up with. Okay? And it's in clearly in verse 19, which I'm talking about, okay, when he took them out of the city. It said, and Abraham, verse 27, got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah, towards all the land of the plain, and behold, lo, a smoke of the country went up as a smoke of a furnace. What does a nuclear bomb look like, people? And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities and plains of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. And when he overthrew the city, when he destroyed it, in which Lot dwelled. Okay? And so these men, go read the story, you'll see that homosexuality that existed there and how they wanted to be with those men, those angels that were new, like we would look at a virgin. So here they desired them. And so you look at it, you go on in 2 Peter, and he tells us, and you look at what I just described to you in verse 27 and walked it on down, that is the same thing. A smoke of a furnace, you think about what a nuclear explosion look like after you would look at it from a long distance. And he says he turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. What happens when a nuclear bomb blows off? Okay, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterwards should live ungodly, and delivering just Lot with the filthy, in other words, filthy conversation, meaning behavior of the wicked. So he's the only one saved out of that city. So we move on back into Revelations, and it talks about this woman. It says, and I'm not going to read all of that because times are not going to permit. And he said, and unto her, and I'm going to start breaking this down because I really want to start dealing with the issue of sin, because people act like sin is non-existent in the day we live in. We're living in a non-moral world. It's morals are completely gone, and humanistic reasoning have taken over. That means they're coming up with this stuff, absence of any God's moral or principle, and thinking it's going to be accepted, or there is no God, so I don't have to worry about it. See, people thinking that way, because they can keep themselves comfortable thinking that, you know, there will be no judgment for the way they live. There will be no consequences for my sin. What is sin? The first person to ever be called sin in the Bible was the devil. Okay? You find that in Genesis 4 when he was talking to Cain. So that means you have a rebellious nature against the word of God, against God's authority, against God's government. That's what it is. So when people say sin, so many false preachers out here who have never been born again, have never been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with this Holy Ghost. Okay, it was Holy Spirit. There's no blood, you know, there's never been any remission of sin in their life. These guys standing behind these pulpits. So they cannot understand the things of God, because it says they are spiritually discerned, they're spiritually given. So sin is a rebellious nature, and we're living in a world right now that is up to its neck in sin. Not just homosexuality, just sexual morality, murder, hate, you know, everything, you know, every kind of unrighteousness you can think about, it's there. How many of you out there practicing that? You know? How many of you? And I fight myself to clean myself up and spare myself this day of doom that I see coming upon this world. And here's America ending for all of y'all who don't know. And I'm going to start down here with the scarlet-colored woman in verse 5 or 17. It says, up on her forehead was a name written, mystery. Hold on, let's go back up. And because it's talking about the dragon, the one who's really behind these system of governments, because that's what Satan established. He rebelled against God and went about to establish his own order, which you see today. Why man is in such a miserable condition. And his job is always to make your life as miserable as possible. If you read chapter 12 when he says, woe to men, because Satan comes down having great wrath. He got great anger. So he is attempting to make man hate God because of the conditions that he's bringing about upon man. If it's not God, It is sin. It's the rebellious nature that you're living in that have you in your condition. You look at every situation in your life. If it has been bad, it's because your choice or your moral standing. It has nothing to do with God. It has to do with your violating his law. God has a law of harmony. We're supposed to make everything in life beautiful, peaceful, and happy. But we chose to follow the devil. And really it started with Adam, and we inherit those ways like you inherit your parent ways. So verse 4 starts in 17 and 4 says, and the woman was arrayed in purple and a scarlet color, decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup, that cup of democracy. In other words, by the people, for the people, live any way you want. Having a golden cup in her hand, full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. Stuff that is disgusting, filthiness, unrighteousness in every form. He said, up on her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, all false religions, and abominations of the earth. And you go on to see, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints. Look at what the outcome of all of this is going to lead to before we get there. We're not far from it, people. With the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, a martyr, a true martyr, not somebody committing suicide, blowing himself, but somebody who was killed because he's revealing the righteousness of God. He's telling the truth. He's uncovering their wickedness. Okay? That's what that is about. Somebody who's bringing light, a real martyr, somebody who brings light to a situation and they're killed because of it. The martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, wherefore did thy marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, America the Great. Okay, and the beast that carried her, which had 10 horns, which had 7 heads and 10 horns. Now look at this. We're going to jump here. Okay, because the beast is the ape. We're waiting on them. You want to really find out who this ape beast is? Get my book called The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount. You can find that at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. And it's by me, Joseph Smith. Once again, it's called The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in the Temple Mount. To make a real conclusion, where you can see it, it's on my cover also on this page. And it's the next book will be The Revival of the Roman Empire. To walk it down, you'll be able to put all of it together with those two books. In the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the 10 horns which thou saw are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And these have one mind and shall give their power and their strength unto the beast, to the Antichrist. One mind, one world government. Okay? And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called chosen and faithful, and trustworthy. Okay? And he goes on to say, and he said unto me, the waters which thou saw, where the whore sitteth, are people, multitudes, and nations, and tongues. And the 10 kings, 10 horns which thou saw upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolated and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire, shall nuke her. For God has put it in their hearts, their minds, to fulfill his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the word of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou saw is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. The multitudes of people is us. In that city that reigns over the kings of the earth, that's the UN. America shall find its faith in this. And it's what you're looking at, why. This all this lawlessness has reached into the heavens. And they're counting me down, people. That's why I had to hurry it up. But multitudes, nature, and tongue, this is the only place like this in the world. And we know the UN rules over the whole world. Okay? They shall burn her with fire. But her judgment is just because, see, that law y'all passed, that lifestyle y'all are choosing, that is the consequences, and that is God's judgment. God's judgment is coming. Y'all better get yourself together and repent. Get baptized in Jesus' name. Filled with this Holy Spirit. Get yourself under the word of God, or you shall be judged, and death will be right, is following you not too long away. And I thank you guys for your time. Y'all have a great evening. Once again, this is Revolutionary Gospel News with Arthur Joseph Smith. Go out and get my books, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, and The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and Temple Mount. Y'all have a blessed Sabbath. And to one of my brothers who passed away, I really hate to hear the kindred gone, and may God's prayers be with his family.